Morning, all again, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Alvin, Ellie, and Lyle, for walking us into the presence of God. It's a pleasure to be here once again with you, sharing the life that God gives us through His words, by His Spirit, to our hearts. Happy Thanksgiving. I think this picture we've got here is an incredible reminder of things that I'm very thankful for, and I hope you are too. Here in BC, in the Lower Mainland, the water that comes out of our taps is good for washing clothes, dishes, showering, and you can drink it too, and it's pure and it's healing, and it gives life, much like God's words itself. So today's topic is remember. Remember and repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. How do we get things into our lives and hearts that stay and last and give life? So once again, we're in the little letter of 1 Peter that the Apostle Peter wrote near the end of his life to remind people of the goodness God had showered on them and warn them about those who would take them away from the goodness of God. As I go over this, I want you to remember, as I do, that these letters were meant to be read in one shot, handwritten, copied, sent out to small churches, probably churches our size or smaller, 50 people or less. And people didn't have scriptures or Bibles or apps to follow along with. Someone may have had a copy of the Old Testament, which simply would have been called the Law. The New Testament hadn't been formed yet, but it was being formed in the letters that these apostles wrote. These letters would have been without chapters or verses, simply read. And they would have remembered what they heard read. And it would have been read more than once, several times. And that's how they were communicated with. And they learned to remember the things that were said. This is what is said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is my second letter to you, dear friends. And in both of them I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophets said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. Short two verses, and what I want to focus on is the remembering aspects here. As we move into that, I want to think a little bit about what Peter, the nature of the material that Peter wants us to remember. So two words we're just going to look at briefly and then move on to the process of fixing truth in our hearts and minds. Peter begins, "This is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory." So the word I want to look at there is wholesome. And that actually means that which is simply pure and right and good. It's like the water we have here in the Lower Mainland, pure and life-giving and healthy, unpolluted by anything. Versus the muddy water that the false teachers, that the counterfeiters, that the liars would have, which was polluted with all sorts of poisonous substances that would not lead to life and health. So wholesome thinking, thinking that's pure and good and right and which gives health. The second word, I want you to remember, he says, what the holy prophet said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. The word remember doesn't just mean bring to mind, have it stored away as a fact, but it's a more comprehensive activity. And you'll see remember throughout the scriptures from stem to stern. The people of Israel are in the desert. The people of Israel have been brought into the land. God always says, remember that you were in Egypt. And by miracles and power, I led you out to this new place. Remember, remember. It's a casting back. And remember, in biblical thinking, to remember, reminders grip the whole person. So we are possessed again by the gospel and its truth, so that we are energized to live for the glory of God. Because think about what powerful memories do for you, both in a positive and negative sense. How powerful they are in guiding our behaviors. Think about the positive things people have said to you. I remember many years ago, a good friend of mine said, "Frankie, you're so friendly. I'm calling you Friendly Frankie." And what he did, this good brother did, was simply affirm a gift that God had had in me and made me think about that. And I actually remembered, well, that's one of the gifts God has given me. I like people. I want to make everybody my friend. That's what a memory does for you. It anchors those things in your life. Same way with negative memories. Think of the harsh or unkind things, the bullying words that might sit there and might wound you and can shape and form your life in response to them. Those kind of words that the Holy Spirit wants to take out of your memory or wants to heal. Memories are incredibly powerful, and in biblical thinking, reminders grip the whole person. And in particular, by the truth of God and the good news that shape and form our behavior. And creating memory involves repetition. And so you'll notice that having been your pastor for nearly 7 years now, I repeat a lot of things because they're worth repeating. And the repetition helps them form solid foundations in our mind and change us. And that's why Peter, in perhaps his final communication with these members of God family, repeats what he has previously said and what they already know. Matter of fact, right in the middle of chapter 1, he says, he will remind them of what they already know and are firmly based on as long as he lives in the tent of this body. He's going to keep reminding them, God is good, and on and on. So I want to look at the content of what is to be remembered, what believers are to remember to give us strength. What is the content of these memories? Because Peter says this, I want you to remember what the holy prophet said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded to your apostles. So here it is. It gets summed up kind of in the good news, the gospel. That's an overarching theme and that captures all of it. But it's got specific content. And here it is. God, and there is only one God, created everything, and he created it good, to be enjoyed, to be life-giving for every element in it, the animals, the sea, the flora and fauna, and especially for human beings, those made in his image. He created everything good. Humans chose to rebel, to say, actually, thank you, God, but we want to do this on our own, and that led to sin and death and the state of the world as we see it, where we know it's not as it should be. But the prophets started promising almost from the very beginning by the leading of the Holy Spirit that God is and will make all things right in the end. And so the content of what was to be remembered is that God's Son came. This is how God intervened in history. He came to restore, to live among us, to heal, to teach, and to train the apostles, and through them us, to take this life-giving message to the world, and then to suffer and die and rise again, bringing forgiveness and healing to all who will receive it. We can now choose to receive forgiveness and live with God forever. And finally, Jesus is coming again as King to judge, heal, and renew the heavens and the earth and every human being who will give themselves to his renewal. That's what was to remember. That's the broad overlines of the content. And now I want to think about the process of repetition in remembering things. Because repetition is necessary in order to create memories that lead to wholesome thinking. Peter wants them to stay strong so they don't lose sight of the wonder and miracle of their salvation and the truth that God, there is a God who intervenes in history to bring about life and restore his creation. He wants to remember that there's a history that the world is started one place good, was broken, and is headed back to renewal. He wants us to look back and remember so that causes us to have hope as we look forward to the promise of renewal. So we look back in history, and in the history not only of the world, but of our own lives, where God has intervened. Because there are those who will deny these truths. That's what he's warning them. He's saying, the very next portions of the scripture, he's going to say, look, people are going to come along and say, this isn't true. God isn't coming back. And Peter wants us to cast our minds back on the truth. God has created, God has intervened in history. Jesus was raised from the dead, and he is coming again. Now, when you think about it, many things compete for our attention and our memory. Our mental hard drives actually have limited capacity, and you can stuff new things in there that will force old things out. And the question is, what do you want to keep written on your hard drive that's easily accessible, that's in your quick links access? On my Windows 10, when I open up stuff, there's that quick access bar right at the top of the file manager. And so what are you going to keep in your quick access file manager? Because some of the stuff is good, some of the stuff in the hard drive is just filler, and some are unhealthy and discouraging, and we'd like to push those out and displace them. What they all have in common is how things get in our mind effectively through repetition. Notice I've said the word repetition a number of times. Think how repetition is used to create memories that lead to desire and spending money. What candy bar helps you when hunger changes you? Aiden, what candy bar changes you when hunger when hunger strikes you and you're changing, you're not yourself? What candy bar do you go for?
Snickers.
Well done, Aiden. You're not you when you're hungry. That's their motto, and hopefully it's got in your mind. It's kind of there. You're not you when you're hungry, and of course that's led to the phrase, you're hangry, which Pastor Bless actually gets. He tries to fake it, but you can tell he's getting irritated because he stops listening to you. Amen.
Amen!
So think how much more effective repetition is when music is attached. When you see this sign, does a tune come to mind? Sleep Country Canada. Why buy a mattress anywhere else? And the repetition pounds us into your mind. This is the reason we sing for as Christians, because music, the more senses you involve in repetition, the more likely it is to stay in your mind. And singing is one of the best of all. So advertising uses repetition to create desire that leads to memories, that leads to you hopefully buying their product. And advertising also has a way of creating the second message, that the purpose of life is to consume pleasurable experiences, that you can purchase these pleasurable experiences, that you are a consumer. That's what you are as a human being. You're a consumer of pleasurable experiences. You've heard the old expression, sex sells. That's why, and thankfully this has started to change. When you used to go to auto shows, in order to drive their message home, they'd have a beautiful woman sitting on or walking around, scantily clad women around the cars they're trying to sell you, because they're trying to get this repeated message into you that a car, driving a certain car, can give you sex appeal. And that message has been repeated over and over again. Repetition can have really positive effects when you think about it. What do you do before you cross the street? You look both ways. Amen? And just to put a smile on your face, I love this one. I look both ways before crossing a one-way street. That's how little faith I have in humanity. I think that's probably not a bad thing anyways. Repetition is effective with public health. You probably know this woman because you see her face repeatedly and she started to get ingrained on your mind. Dr. Bonnie Henry. But her motto is starting to get into my mind and heart. You know what it is? It's be something, be something, be something. Do you remember it? Be kind, be calm, and be safe. So many things by repetition compete for the memory space that it's necessary for you to choose what you're going to allow to fill your mental hard drive. What you gonna choose? Ads and news that sometimes lead to worry and dissatisfaction with life and the wrong view of humans as consumers? Or are you gonna choose to add to this God's thoughts, which lead to life and peace and a true view of humanity as created by God, beloved of Him, and worth, of infinite worth? So what I'm gonna give you is four examples of how repetition of truth, godly truth, is presented in the scriptures, how we've started to embrace them in our lives, and I bet you have too. And then I'm gonna give you a few little hints how to solidify things in your mind, and then we're gonna end once again with Peter's scriptures. So four examples of how the scriptures repeat God's character, His law, His blessing, and the promise of His return. So God's character. We did this about 2 months ago. We talked a little bit about how Moses, struggling with the rebellious people of Israel and simply being exhausted by the job of leading this rebellious and stiff-necked people. And he said, Father, Lord, Yahweh, if you want me to carry on, I need a fresh glimpse of you and your glory. I need the sight of you and your magnificence to transform me, to energize me, to give me the power to carry on. And so God appears to him, and this is what he says. The Lord, that's Yahweh, Yahweh, the gracious and compassionate God. He's revealing his character to Moses. Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And you'll see throughout the scriptures that this description of God's character is repeated over and over again, so that it became ingrained in the people of Israel's mind. So it became something that was recalled as easily as why buy a mattress anywhere else, and even more so. So much so that when King David, 400 years later, is in great distress and he's calling out to God for relief from his enemies, he turns straight to God's revelation of his character for help. David says, arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. And then he says this, but you are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Can you see what happened? The repetition, the way he'd heard this truth over and over again, spoken out loud. Perhaps he'd seen it written because he was to write a copy of the law, and it had become woven into his mental hard drive by the Holy Spirit. And so in distress, he knows who God is, and he calls on God who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. God's character. Let it be formed in your mind and fill up space here. It'll give you strength. God's laws. The great Shema. That Shema is the word that means hear or listen, O Israel. And hear or listen means hear and pay attention. But this is how God talks about getting his way of living into the hearts and minds of the people of Israel and into their families in the succeeding generations. From Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9 in the New Living Translation. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Now listen to this. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. And he goes on to say, tie them on your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and of your gates. Again and again, repeat them again and again, because they will start to become integrated as part of your life and your children's life. The word repeat actually is the word impress, like you would on a clay seal, or engrave. Engrave it on your heart. Engrave it like you would on a stone or a gem. The Hebrew you see right here, that Shema, and then it go Yisrael. Hear, O Israel. Are meant to be engraved on the hearts so that they're there. And the Holy Spirit actually does that through the repetition and the reminder, engraves on our hearts the truth that God has for us, the life-giving truth. It helps us think his thoughts after him. So much so that when a rabbi, who was obviously tender to the Holy Spirit, came up to Jesus and asked him what the greatest commandment was, Jesus repeated this right off the top. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the rabbi knew this was true. He said, right. And to love your neighbor as yourself. These had become ingrained on his heart. Repetition helps us remember God's character, his laws, the holy way of living, the right way of living, the pure and life-giving way of living. And it also, repetition helps us remember God's blessing. You know, of course, as Blessed say, we're going for the good old benediction from Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 24. This is the benediction that God told Moses to tell his brother, the high priest. This is what the priests are to place upon, the words they are to place upon my children every time they gather, to say these blessings on them. Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron his sons, this is how you are to bless, to make fruitful, to give strength to the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That's his character. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And so they will put my name on the Israelites and I'll bless them. Put their name on the Israelites. That's put his fatherly blessing, his hand, his character on the Israelites over and over again. I will say this benediction at the end of today because it's worth repeating and allow these words to soak over into us so that you can think over and over again, the Lord is blessing me. His face is shining on me. He's turned his face towards me for grace and for strength. For shalom. This is a reminder and memory that he's filled with a deep and powerful, never-ending fatherly affection for you and for me. That's who the creator of the universe is. That's the kind of affection he has for us. Let it grip you with the reality of his affection for you. So we've looked at God's character through repetition. He's gracious and compassionate. His laws, hear, O Israel, and repeat again and again. His laws, his blessing, that his name and is upon us, his face is turned towards us. And this, God's return, amongst the many things that communion brings to us, is that Jesus is promising to come back again. Communion looks to his death and resurrection, amongst other things, to remind us that he returns. From 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. This cup is a new covenant, is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. This helps us to remember. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death, which includes his resurrection until he comes again. We're remembering that he comes again. And this memory is strengthened by actions. You know, we sing during communion. We read these verses out loud during communion. We celebrate, we drink the juice or the wine, and we break the bread and share the bread to get these truths into our mind, to start filling our hearts with this. It reminds us every time that we are celebrated that Jesus is coming again. That we are forgiven and free because he rose from the dead. Remember his death, but by saying remembering his death, we remember his death was effective because it did not keep its grip on him, could not, and he rose again. We are forgiven and free. It's so easy to forget that we're forgiven, to so easy to forget that God has wiped our sins away and put them in the sea of forgetfulness. But we're free. Can I tell you an aside this week? Benita and I were talking, and I have confessed to my daughters many times that I have many regrets for how I've wounded them as a parent, because you simply cannot parent without occasionally, hopefully only occasionally, sinning against your children. We're still wrestle with self-centeredness and with anger and lack of self-control at times, and it puts wounds in our children. And Benita asked me, because I've asked for her forgiveness and Zoe's, and of course they have, but she asked me, have you received the forgiveness he gives you? And God's challenging me. He wants to set you and I free. That's why we celebrate communion. We remember he's coming again. We remember the freedom that we have from everything. It doesn't mean there are no consequences of the things we've done wrong. It doesn't mean we don't work to grow. But we grow, and we can grow, because we're forgiven. We're not trying to earn forgiveness. We're growing out of grace and love, which is so easy to pass on when we receive it. So we learn by repetition. These things that Peter wants us to remember: God's character, his holy way of living and laws, his blessing, and that he's coming again and that he forgives us. So here's where we started. Peter said these things. This is my second letter to you, dear friends. And in both of them, I've tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. And I'm trying to refresh your memory today over these same things Peter would want. There is a God, and this is all the wonderful things he's done for us. I want you to remember what the holy prophets said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. So I'm probably giving you too much to remember, but I'm going to throw out to you a last thing, a little memory tip on how to remember. Call it GRASS. I'm looking for something to kind of get it in your heads. And the G stands for, you want to remember God's truth and blessings on you, to have wholesome thinking, to get strong, gather together. Simply, we're commanded to gather together and say and do these things because it's a way of remembering and fixing in our minds that we are the people of God and loved by him. Gather together. Remember what God has done. He sent Jesus to die for your sins, but in your life, remember what he's done. We have a church that is full of people who've been rescued by God's grace from refugee camps. We have people like me who've been rescued from addiction. There's a reason I tell my story and my testimony over and over again, because I remember where I've come from and that God intervened miraculously to set me free. So remember what God has done, because it'll give you the confidence that he will do it again. I couldn't find anything for it, so it's and. Gather, remember, and scripture. Simply read, listen, memorize. And if you're trying to get scripture into you, read it out loud, write it down, say it, sing it. They will give you strength. When I first came to faith, because if you're an addict, there's a weight and a burden there that's crushing. So the first scripture I really remember hanging on to and knowing was, come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And that's sunk deep into me, that God is the one who promises me rest. So that's G-R-A-S, and the last one is sing. There's not a better way to get the truth of God into your heart. I memorized years ago, how great thou art, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. Sorry, that's me singing. But every time I walk out of here, as I mentioned before, and I see the North Shore Mountains, I'm struck with awe and wonder, and the music comes to mind, and because of this song, I remember that God made those beautiful things. So here we are, friends. We've come to an end on this Thanksgiving. And to bless you on this Thanksgiving, I'm going to say these precious words to you once again. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. the Lord turn his face toward you, my friend. We're looking at this. He's turning his face towards you and give you peace. May the shalom of the Yahweh the Father, the power of Jesus Christ, and the love of the Holy Spirit give you peace today. In his name, amen.